This is episode 53 of Our Modern Heritage, the new Home and Family Culture podcast. I'm your host, Jody Chafee. In this episode, I'm talking with Noelle Rhodes of Friending Podcast. And I get a little bit personal in this episode, and I thought at first that maybe I should delete some of the things that I said because it was kind of personal and kind of vulnerable and things, but honestly, this podcast and this what I'd like to convey, especially in this episode about friending, about making friendships a part of your family culture, is that it's a struggle, but that I want to convey also how important it is for our family culture to make friendships a part of our culture and to make them a priority, because I've been going on this kick about, you know, coping and also, you know, about resilience and things like that. And the reality is that our friends help us to be resilient. Our friends are there to give us that boost mentally and physiologically, you know, that we need social connection in order to overcome our insecurities, in order to overcome our vulnerability. And in the past, this has been a bit of a struggle for me, which has been really hard, because there was a season in my life where a friend of mine described me as having an electric personality. And then my husband and I started going through a really deep trial. And that part of me, I feel like I lost. And it's been really difficult and challenging for me to overcome it, because I always felt like I had that electric personality. And when I was in high school, I had a lot of friends. I wouldn't say that I had like a lot of super tight friends. I had a nice core group of people that were my friends, but I could make friends with just about anybody. I would bounce around different, you know, tables in the cafeteria and things like that. I hated cliques. I just hated it. And I just felt like everybody ought to feel included. And so I always just made it my priority to reach out to anybody. And so when my husband and I started going through this basically crisis, that we lost that feeling, that sense of friends. And now looking back on that time, and I describe it in this episode, it was really a time of learning and just shaping the course of our lives and realizing how important that friendships really are. And so that's something that in this episode, I hope that you appreciate, you know, that this is what I was going through, and a little bit of what I'm still going through, but I'm finally in a place where it's okay. Like, I'm in a place where I really appreciate the people who have come into my life, and I'm making friends again. And so I hope you enjoy this episode, and go check out the show notes at homeandfamilyculture.com and links to connect with Noelle. Noelle is a Jersey girl who believes in the power of bagels, but more importantly, the power of friendship. She is a speaker, writer, and podcast host of Friending. When she is not talking about loneliness, friendship, and community, she is hanging with her people and probably eating bagels. Sorry, I say bagels really weird, and I forgot to warn you that for some reason my brother would always pick on me for the way I say bagels. Anyways, welcome, Noelle.
Hey.
You're here.
No problem.
Oh no, this is going to be a challenge.
How do I say bagels?
See, I don't say bagels. I say bagels. And I'm like, oh, well, somebody's going to hear that and be like, is that I don't know. Like, even if people are like, is that a Michigan accent, like a Midwestern accent? And I'm like, no, nobody in Michigan says bagels. Like, anyway, so apparently I say it weird.
But no, you're fine. I knew what you're talking about.
Good. Well, I'm so glad to have you, Noelle, and I love this topic, and I especially love how it relates to family culture, because I think that the way that we shape our friendships, the way we model friendship for our children, all of that relates to our family culture and the things that we value. So I want to go into a little bit more about,
you know, what inspired you to talk about friendship and loneliness?
Well, I was terribly lonely. And that's what I... No, it's true. I was a missionary in Northern Ireland for 6 years. So I was overseas with my little family, and we had an awesome community, tons of really cool friends, people we still love dearly. Then I came back to the States, and I found it really difficult to pick up where I left off with my old friendships. Mm. And I was lonely. And plus, I lived in a different area. It was really hard. My kids were at a different school. So it was like I was a new kid again, and I found it really hard to make friends as an adult. Mm-hmm. And the story goes, one day I was in my house, and an old friend had canceled to have coffee with me. And I just started to cry, and I was just feeling really lonely and feeling sorry for myself. And I was like hysterically crying in my room. And my husband came in, and he was like, "What happened? Who died?" And I was just like, "I have no friends."
Right.
And he was like, "I'm your friend." And I'm like, "That doesn't count." So, you know, it was from that moment I started to actually Google, how do you make friends as an adult? And then I started to really, I went on a spiritual journey myself and started to study the life of Jesus and how he did friendship. So this all happened, and I was just doing this for myself, really. And an old friend said to me, "You know, you should do a podcast about this, because you're probably not the only one feeling this way." And I found out that I wasn't. So that's kind of the story of why I start to speak and talk about loneliness and friendship, was because it was my own issue.
Yeah.
It was my own thing I was going through.
That's awesome. That's so true. Like this, that's one of the reasons I started family culture podcast. I was like, how are people figuring out how their family culture works? So that's a really interesting point. And I am with you, sister, about this, like loneliness. Like it's hard as an adult to make friends. And for some reason, and that's what we'll go into more, is like, what is it about being an adult that suddenly, if we aren't in the exact same demographic or something, like, you know, I went through a period where it was like, well, I didn't have children, and so I could only make friends for some reason with people who didn't have children. Right. Or once I started having kids, then if we didn't birth the same way, then we couldn't be friends, you know, something like that.
Totally. Where it's just I've been like, there before.
What is going on here? Like, why does this even matter? Like, isn't it enough that we, you know, want to have a friend and that we can talk? Or anyways, you know, it becomes this like challenge to figure out who is really doing the over judgment here. Is it me, or is it them, or is it, you know what I mean? And so that's it's hard. It's so hard. And so I'm with you.
Yes. Grown up friendship is no joke. That's pretty much like my tagline. Grown up friendship is no joke. It's more complicated. It's not as straightforward as when you were in kindergarten.
Right. You know? Right. So. My kids will go out. We just moved into a cul-de-sac, and there's like a dozen kids just on our little stretch of street. And when we first moved in, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to actually talk to my neighbors because all these kids are going to be coming into the cul-de-sac, and my kids are natural friend makers, and they just want to go out there. And every day they're like, "Mom, I want to go out and be with these kids after they go home from school." I'm like, that's fine. But I'm not going to go out there and talk to their moms and dads. Like, that's not my thing, which is strange for me too, because I was shy growing up. And then I went through a period where I was super extrovert. Like I loved making friends, like in high school and a little bit after high school. And then I started going through a period where I was like, I think I'm an introvert. And that was really hard for me. It was hard for me to like accept that I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
But being an introvert doesn't necessarily mean that you don't want to be with people.
Yeah.
It just means that like I can be with one-on-one with people like really good and stuff like that. And I could even get on a stage and like do stuff because I'm a singer and sometimes I speak.
Right.
And I do that. But I still like get drained if I'm in like, if there's large crowds or something.
Right. Yeah.
Or talking to new people is really hard.
Yeah.
So it's all real. These are all real concerns.
Yeah.
Why in your perspective, what you've learned, why is friendship so important as an adult?
Well, I mean, the science the science tells us that we do better physically and mentally when we're connected with people. Mm-hmm. So Cigna, the health insurance, just mm-hmm. a report maybe 6 months ago about loneliness mm-hmm. and how they found that loneliness directly influences the quality of health that people have. Even people who, for instance, are battling cancer, their chances of coming through are a lot stronger if they have a strong community around them, as opposed to if they don't. So, I mean, we can say, oh, well, that makes a lot of sense, but we don't always practically live that out. But also, I mean, from a spiritual perspective, I believe that we're created to be in community with each other, and we walk out our best life and we walk out our callings when we're walking with people. Like, that's how we're created. Mm-hmm. So when we do that, it's easier to grow. It's easier to heal. It's easier to give because you've got people. That's just how we're designed. Going back to the science, you know, there has been studies done on 2-day-old infants, and they were sitting there like, their cognitive behaviors, right? But they're the neuroscience as well. And they found that little 2-day infants, when they were looking at their brain imaging, they could see that the part of the brain that thinks socially was lighting up all the time. Now, these are 2-day-old infants. They don't really have established relationships yet, you know, but they're already kind of making those connections. And I believe that's because we're innately created to connect. So when you're not connected, I don't think you can do well. I think you're going to get sick, not get sick, but you know, I think it's going to affect you physically. I think it could depress you. Mm-hmm. I think it could make you feel like you're not doing what you're supposed to do. But when you're a community, you find yourself. So that's kind of my thoughts on it. So it is important. It's important because in order for you to live out your purpose, you need people.
Mm-hmm. So what I hear you saying is that physiologically, we don't develop if we aren't around other people. So like 100%. Our brains and our, you know, our mentally and physically, we may not even develop. And then if we aren't connecting with other people, then we're just going to be like trapped inside of our little comfort zone and never learn about who we are, our capacity. And we even, I totally agree with you. I believe that we can get sick if we don't have friends, if we don't connect with people that, I mean, because if you think about physically, you're not developing, then you're probably going to get sick. Yeah. And I actually ran this whole campaign about coping skills and stuff.
Yeah.
I looked into how when you have friends, it fires up all those good neurons and hormones in your brain and in your body, because you're connecting with people. Mm-hmm. And you're right. We are so wired for connection. If it's so important, why is it so hard to make friends?
Two reasons. Busyness and insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we are incredibly busy as a society, and we just do a lot of stuff. So in order for you to have a relationship with somebody, you have to have consistent time spent with that person. It's really difficult to become friends with somebody and have it to be deep and life-giving if you're not talking to them on a regular basis or seeing them. Yeah. And social media doesn't count. So, you know, because social media is a very edited, curated version of your life. It's not the real you. No matter who you are, that's just the case.
Yeah.
But you need consistency in order to make a connection. So we're really busy. We're not connecting consistently. We get isolated because we're just really busy doing the thing that we need to do or we feel is important to do. And there's lots of reasons for that. But also, insecurities keep us from being authentic. And if you cannot be authentic, then you really will have a hard time finding your people, because you'll always be adapting who you are to meet the general consensus. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to create a lot of shallow relationships, but you're not going to create any that are life-giving. So a lot of people, the reason why they're struggling in the friendship area is because either they're too busy to literally spend time with people, or they're too insecure. So they're not really revealing who they are. And you have to be the real you in order to be a relationship.
Absolutely. And what I was going to say, and why I asked this question, you know, like Brené Brown says that the antidote to shame is connection. Yeah. And that when you can't make connections, then essentially you're living in your own shame and you're doubting yourself, or, you know, you're feeling that insecurity without ever, I like how you say this, life-giving connections, life-giving friendships, because when you can make those connections, you can talk through your insecurities and then those people still love you and accept you. Wow, how much growing can you get from that kind of relationship, just being able to create that antidote for the shame and the insecurity? That's,
yeah.
But it's hard. It's hard.
It is hard.
You know, because like Brené Brown says, it's, you have to become vulnerable. Yeah. And how many of us really want to be vulnerable?
And you have to give up, you know, the reason why a lot of us are busy, at least me, I'm going to speak for myself, is because it makes us feel important. So you have to give that up a bit to create space to spend time with people. And that means you have to give up the need to feel important. And that's something I've had to do in my life. I've had to let some things go to create some room in my literal calendar so I can have coffee with a friend, or I can go for a walk or pick up the phone and actually talk to them. So you have to give up kind of that idea of, oh, I'm so important because I'm doing all this stuff, to be present.
Yeah. Oh, presence is a huge, that's like a huge popular word right now, right?
Yeah.
But it's so true. Being present is so important. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is that we need to actually pick up our calendars, write it, like make it a priority to have to create time and space for our friends.
It really has to become our culture though. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It does. It has to be something that you're about. And so you have to literally say to yourself, I'm about friendship. And I know that sounds crazy because everyone's like, oh, of course I got friends. But I'm about investing in my people. And that is going to be reflected in my schedule.
Hmm. So that's, I listened to your episode about how to make friends when you don't want to. I thought that was really interesting because I totally felt that. I went through a period where I was like, I don't relate to any of these people, or maybe I perceived that I didn't relate to any of these people, like in my church community and things like that. And and I was like, I don't want to make friends with these people because they are just not like me or whatever. And so I think that part of making it a part of your culture is letting go of that, letting go of judgment. The reality is, you know, in that, there is the, you know, it's a scripture in the Bible that's like, whatever judgment you judge, you will also be judged.
Yeah.
But what I perceive from that, like I used to think, oh, well, that's how people are going to judge you if you judge other people that way. But actually, that's how you judge yourself.
Yeah.
And so when you judge yourself a certain way, you judge other people that way, and that because that's how you're judging yourself. And so again, that comes back to the insecurity and the shame and things like that. If you are judging people, that's how you're judging yourself, and you're afraid that you're going to be perceived that way or whatever way that you're judging. And so you just have to kind of let go of the judgments and think. There's also a saying that's like, every person has something to contribute or something, you know, like you got to find that thing that person has to offer.
And you also have to have the courage to be disliked. A lot of us don't step forward in friendship because we're so petrified of rejection. And listen, nobody likes to be rejected and nobody likes to be disliked. It's maybe a few rare people do, but for me, I don't like that. I want everyone to like me. And if I think you're not going to like me, I'm not going to get close to you. But you have to have the courage to be disliked and step forward. And if it doesn't work out, you know, it's fine. Okay, this person's not my person. I love them and I can be kind to them, but they're not going to be my friend and that's okay. So it takes a great deal of courage though to do that and maturity. So that's something that has taken me a very long time to get to that place where I'm like, okay, not everyone's going to like me, but having the courage to be disliked gives you the place to be authentic.
Yeah. And then the people who really do relate to you, they're going to come out of the woodwork and be like, hey, I like that. I like how you say you're my people.
Yeah.
Is there like a certain demographic besides like within the adults or whatever that it's harder to make friends? Like, for example, like are millennials having a harder time, or is it parents or middle class? You know, what is going on with like these demographics?
That's a great question. I don't think there's any one demographic. I think anytime there's a seasonal change or transition, it's an opportunity for loneliness. Change tends to precede loneliness. So let's say you just graduated from college and you're going into the work world. Those kids always feel lonely. Let's say you're a newlywed. Oh my gosh, so many newlyweds have written to me how hard they're finding making friends as a newlywed. New moms, moms going into elementary school, empty nesters. I mean, anytime there's a change of location, a change of season, that's where the loneliness tends to set in. And it's kind of inevitable. The key is just not stay in that place. But I don't think there's one age group. I think the least age group are children, because they're naturally tending to be, they're so free to be themselves usually. And they're also consistently spending time with people in their class every day. It's the same people. So they tend to not have as much loneliness the younger they are. You start to see some changes, I would say upper elementary. That's when it starts to change a little bit. But anytime there's a seasonal change or you're transitioning into a new phase of life, there's opportunity for loneliness.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That was like I said, when I started having children, and it was like so many people that were in my like kind of core group in a way, like I was never super close with them, but it like, and maybe that's why we kind of fell off, was like, I had a different birthing plan than they did. And so that was just like, really?
Yeah.
Or I kind of became very protective, I think, of the way that I wanted to parent. And it was, I knew it was going to be different than what the people were parenting. And so I like lost friendships because I knew that I was just going to, and maybe I was just insecure, like you're saying. Maybe I just felt like, well, I'm just different, and I'm judging myself based on my judgments.
Yeah.
Because I thought, oh, they're not going to accept me because I'm different or X, Y, and Z. I was also going to school, which is a really hard area to be in, because it was like, I go to the groups with moms and I couldn't relate to them because I was a student.
Yeah. No.
And then I would go to school and I couldn't relate to them because I was a mom. So it was really, that was really tough.
I think you're always going to find differences though. And that's something that we have to acknowledge. So like there's the work at home moms, there's the stay at home moms, there's the working out of the home moms, you know, and sometimes like those three groups, they don't mix. And I think the beauty is when you can just, you know, bring yourself and wherever you're at, but then celebrate the difference in other people, you know, and cheer them on so that they know that it's not about the difference. It's about the commonality. And that takes time to build that kind of ability. It's sort of like a superpower.
Yeah. Well, what I've been learning too is that we're so much more than just moms. We're so much more than like our little demographic. You know, it's like, but I think we forget that because we're so like engrossed in whatever's going on in our kids' world or whatever. But like when we are out there doing our own thing, and this is part of why a friendship is so important, right? Like if we are out there making friends, we're nourishing ourselves and our own souls and things like that, we begin to refine our own identity. And that's super important.
And, you know, it's really important to have a collection of different kinds of friends. I have friends who've got no kids. I have friends who are like, you know, working in the corporate world, and I'm not doing that. But man, their experience enriches my life. And just on Friday night, I had tea with a friend who's in the corporate world. She works like crazy hours and travels all over the place. And she got to really speak into my life because of her unique experiences. And as long as I'm open to that, as long as I'm like, you know, well, we don't have the same life, therefore you can't like contribute anything to it, you know, which we do, right? Because we get insecure. But if we can be open, my gosh, their differences can really like, they can propel us to be even more who we are.
Totally. What is your advice for people who are suffering from depression and anxiety or introverts? What is your advice for them? Because I know that that is something that can be really, a really big hurdle to overcome. And so just one or two tips that you have for introverts and people suffering from depression and anxiety.
I talk about this a lot on Friending, because I myself have suffered with anxiety. So if you're wanting like a deep dive, there's an episode about it.
Good.
I can't remember what number it is. But it's like, you know, when you're, you know, how to support a friend who suffers with anxiety or something like that. But the thing I would say, if you're suffering from depression and anxiety, the temptation is to withdraw. And so that's not good for friendship. So what I do personally is I just let my friends know, hey, I'm feeling a little anxious. I don't know if I'm going to make your unique party tonight. It's because I'm feeling really anxious. I'm feeling overwhelmed about, you know, A, and hey, pray for me. Because I think what we do, I mean, I don't know if anyone else does this, but like in the past, I would have been like, I can't come tonight. I don't feel good.
Right.
And you say that enough, people start to go, what is her deal? Like, why does she keep like, you know, not showing up? But when I said, I'm like struggling with anxiety and depression, you know, because I was very honest, I was able to get compassion from my friends. But when I'm like concealing what's going on, it breeds confusion, which eventually means people are going to make up their own story about why you're not there. So I think always being honest is good, and just saying, I struggle with anxiety. This is who I am. I'm working on this. Like, you can pray for me. You can whatever, you know, you can be very specific. I also think though that a big thing I say to people who feel depressed or anxious is your friends can help you. And we worry that we're going to be a burden on our friends. We don't want to bring them down. We don't want them to be like, oh, there's Noelle again. She's always worrying about stuff. What's her problem? But your friends love you, and they can help you. And there's been so many times that my friends in the pit of my depression have been rock stars. Last year on January 1st, okay, of 2018, I was so depressed. I was so like, I'm such a failure. Like, I had all these like crazy thoughts, you know, like, you know, my podcast isn't doing as well as I wanted to. And gosh, like, Noelle, you don't like know what you want to be when you grow up and you're 35. And my friend had Voxered me like, Happy New Year's. And I was just like, hey, V, her name is Vesper. I was like, V, I'm having a bad first day of the year. like pray for me. And she Voxered me back. Now, I live in Jersey, right by New York City, and she lives somewhere in New England. I won't say where. And she drove a couple hours to my house that day. She's like, you just shouldn't be alone today. And her whole family came, and it like changed everything for me. But it was because I was open and saying, I need help. I need you. And they, you know, it wasn't a burden for her. She was happy to be there. And what could have turned into like 3 weeks of me living under my duvet cover was over within hours, because I had a friend show up and say, no, listen, your first day of 2018 is not going to suck. We're going to make it awesome. We're going to do this together. And, you know, just reminding me who I was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you struggle, your friends can help you. They really can. If you're an introvert, what I always say is don't feel bad about that. Mm-hmm. I'm not an introvert. I'm like extreme extrovert, but my dearest friends tend to be introverts. Like, my closest friends tend to be introverts, and they're such a gift to me because they tend to be very insightful, because they stop a little bit longer to notice what's really going on. So, you know, if you're an introvert, don't feel bad about that. You know, own that, bring that to the table, but also make sure that you protect yourself, because if you're trying really hard to make friends and like be with people because being introverts not great for friendship, you know, that's a big myth. Mm-hmm. You're going to burn yourself out, and then you're not going to want to be with people anymore. Yeah. So like some of my friends who are introverts, they need to be like, okay, Noelle, we're not going to hang out again this week, because they need their time. And as an extrovert, I have to accept that. But when they're honest about it, I get it. But when you're not honest and you're kind of like making up excuses, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I think it's cool when you're introverted to just be like, you know what? Being with people kind of drains me sometimes, so I can only do so much. And most extroverts will get that. They mm-hmm. won't be offended by it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So just be honest and own it. Like, be proud to be an introvert and protect the fact that you need time alone in order for you to be good with people later on.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the introvert, extrovert terms have been so commonly thrown around that I think we're like, oh yeah, we get it. And yeah. So I think that helps to understand each other, where we're coming from and stuff. But you're right. Like, it's hard. Like, when I had this realization, I'm totally an introvert. It really kind of freaked me out at first.
Yeah.
But now that I'm starting to really wrap my mind around it, I'm like, you know what? That just means that I just like to have intimate friendships and not necessarily need to be like the life of the party or, you know, anything like right. that or whatever. And that's, you both have their strengths and that's yes. awesome.
Yeah. And I say every extrovert needs an introvert and every introvert needs an extrovert.
Totally. Totally. <You do. laughs> Okay. So now transition into like this idea around family culture and how friendship as influences our family culture. Like, how do you see the way that our family culture, you know, and friendship influence each other? Why is it important to our family culture?
Why is it important to our family culture? Well, number one, we're teaching our kids what they need to do when they're outside of our family. I mean, your family are your first friends, right? So it's really important that I model healthy friendship for my kids because they're not always going to live in my house and they're going to be making their own friendships. So for us in my personal family, like my kids know friendship is a value. It's mm-hmm. like, there's no question about it. That's like part of our, it's part of like our mission statement, so to speak, our manifesto.
Yeah.
So we're all about like we have three words that we use and it's encourage, embrace, and enjoy. They know these words by heart and they know like we embrace people, we encourage people, and we enjoy life with people. Mm-hmm. So I'm teaching them that like, you know, you're going to do life outside of our little family. You're going to do it with friends and this is how you do it. So I'm very intentional actually in teaching my kids about friendship, probably in like a really sort of weird way, but I am like, okay, this is what you do to make new friends. This is what you do when your friends are giving you a hard time. I'm very like hands-on specific with them because it's not even easy as a child sometimes.
I think that everything you just said is like spot on with the family culture. Having a mission statement, having your like mantras and things like that really help reinforce your values around those things. Because if you say that that's your value, but then you don't reinforce it regularly, then it doesn't become a part of your culture. Like you were saying before, it has to be part of your culture. And that has to be your value. and I think that it's important to make that part of your value. Like even for me as an introvert, like I know that my kids are going to be like, I want to go and play with my friends. And I'm like, I kind of groan about it.
Yeah.
But that because I know it's important for modeling good friendship for them and to help them see like how it's important, you know, how we treat people and things like that and how to be inclusive and kind, that I have to intentionally step out of my comfort zone and go and do those things.
And I think you got to get really super practical about it with kids because we can say a lot of different things like be kind and be inclusive and, you know, put yourself out there, but they don't know what that means. If you ask my kids, if they were right here right now and you said to them, how do you make new friends? What can you do to make new friends? My kids are going to say, you should bring something that you've baked because that's what I've taught them. I've said, okay, when you get a new job or you go to college, well, you gotta bake something because everybody likes food. And that's how you get to know people. And I know that sounds really simple and silly, but super practical, but it's true. It's so true. If you want to get to know people, you gotta like volunteer, you gotta get involved, you gotta, you know, literally do things sometimes that you don't wanna do or doesn't necessarily feel natural to you, but that's the only way you're gonna meet people. So I like literally teach my kids these very practical things. So in the back of their mind, when they're like 18, they're going off to college and they're in a dorm room and they're feeling a little bit like, how am I gonna get to know people? Well, I don't know. They can go to a bakery, get baked goods, bring them out, and the food will bring the people. It always does. Right. But it's simple, but it's true. And kids don't always know that. And we can teach it to them. We really can. We can be so intentional about that. But we don't really. We think it's going to just be kind of caught. But you really do need it. It needs to be taught.
Yeah. And to be consistent. Like,
yes.
you can't just be like, well, this one time we'll make friends by doing that. But next time that arises, I don't want to do it. You know, it's like, you got to keep going. You got to like, maybe even like you said, if you have to put it in your schedule, like put it in your schedule to, my parents have started doing this. They started every Friday night inviting people in their neighborhood and from church to just come over for like a game night.
Yeah.
I was like, I was really blown away by that because my mom's super introvert, my dad's super extrovert, but like they just decided that this was an important part of keeping up with people. It's just planning it.
I love that. And we just did like in the summer, we do a weekly barbecue for our neighbors and everybody just comes. And, you know, my daughter would be really intentional about making sure the little kids felt included. And I remember asking her, I'm like, you know, why are you so good about like making sure the three-year-olds are, you know, invited to play? And she's like, well, I was three and these older kids did that for me. And so she got it. She's picking these things up, but it was because I pointed it out to her a while ago. She's like, remember when you said that so-and-so was kind to me and included me? Well, I'm going to do the same thing, you know? And it does get, you know, with family culture and raising kids, the biggest thing parents are going to come against is when there's friendship drama. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It will break your heart into 3 million pieces. It just will. I don't know if you've experienced this yet. I don't know how old your kids are, but when your kids are like hurt by people, it's like you just want to go in and kick somebody's teeth in because it's so upsetting. But it's opportunity for you to teach your kids, well, how do you deal with heartbreak like this? And you have to be so intentional. Like I literally am like, guys, if somebody's hurt you, like, don't be talking about it with other people. Don't be trying to get like a, you know, people to come on your side. Like right. Go to that person first. And we like literally practice it. We act it out. We try to like help them with that. So when the situation arises, they're prepared. Yeah. And you know, they don't always get it right. Cause I don't always get it right, but at least they know the right thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe even like telling, like if you've had an experience in your childhood where you went through this kind of an experience, then you can go, you know, this is what happened to me once when I was in grade school or high school or whatever. And you can tell them a story about your past. That also reinforces those values and it connects them with stories that also help with that resilience of being able to spring back from these kind of setbacks. And so you can tell the story like, when I was in sixth grade, my friend totally dumped me. And like, you know, that happened to me once too, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that helps you become more relatable. And it helps them to go, well, mom overcame this struggle and I can probably overcome it too. And mom and I can relate together to this thing or whatever.
That's excellent.
Important. Because it is so important, right? Like that we model this thing for our kids, that we relate to them, that we are consistent, that we are expressing and, you know, and being intentional about our family culture around friendships. I mean, this is all, it's just so important. And I think that one of the reasons why I think I wanted to have you here on the show is because this has been a struggle for me that I'm like, 2 years ago, we moved to a new place. And for 8 years before that, we didn't, like my husband and I became like really clingy to each other because we couldn't relate. We didn't feel like we could relate to anybody. We were going through struggles with depression and financial struggles. Yeah. And was just like, this is hard. Mm. But then our daughter was born and she is like super extrovert. She is the one that's like, mom, I want to go out and do this thing. And I'm like, like groaning. And so that's why I wanted to have you to talk about this because it really is an important part of family culture that when we're going through hardships, when we move to a new place, when we have those transitions, we need that connection because sometimes I look back over that time when we were really struggling and yes, it really strengthened our marriage because we became very autonomous and whatever, but we didn't have a remedy for the shame and insecurity that we were feeling.
Yeah,
because there was nobody that we felt like we could relate to. We would come and go from activities and we would come home and cry because we're just like, we don't have any friends and nobody understands what we're going through. And we're finally getting to a place where we feel more comfortable, like being able to talk to people about what we've gone through. And so it's been healing. It's been a healing process to be able to talk to people and to start making those connections and telling people what we've been enduring, what we've been going through. And because part of it is, I don't want to go through our whole lives modeling for our kids that we're afraid to make friends or that we're afraid of making connections or that we're afraid of being vulnerable because, like you said, they're going to go out and they're going to make friends with these people and they're going to come back and go, what do I do now? Or things like that. So yeah. So anyways, your thoughts about that? You sound like you have thoughts.
I think the biggest thing I would encourage someone who might be listening going, oh my gosh, I really struggle in this area. I want to say to you, give yourself grace to grow. And don't beat yourself up that maybe you think you should be farther. You should have a bestie or a squad at this point or a really strong community. Don't beat yourself up about that. This is just one part of the story that you're at. Mm-hmm. Keep taking little tiny steps towards connecting. And that might just be, honestly, that might just be, you know, today I actually said hello to my neighbor outside, you know, and celebrate that and build on that. Don't like if the idea of like hosting a block party is making you feel like you might throw up. It's not time for that.
No.
And that might not, that may never be your thing. You may always be, you know, a cup of tea, one-on-one kind of person. That's awesome. We need those people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, a lot of people will write to me and they're like, what do I do? I'm having a hard time. I'm like, give yourself grace to grow in friendship. Mm-hmm. And also remember that friendships, 90% are seasonal. Mm-hmm. It's very rare to have a friend since 6 years old. I mean, it's really, really rare. So, you know, you're going to have friends for a season and that's okay. Like, you know, you're going to move and the people that you left behind, you're not going to be as close to because they're not in your everyday life unless you're talking right to them every day. That's okay. Like honor that for what it was, but don't feel bad that you don't have it still. There's nothing wrong with you. Everybody is going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I would just encourage you to like, give yourself grace, understand it's seasonal. Understand that everybody gets lonely at some point, but the most important thing is you're not meant to stay lonely. You know, it's like you cut yourself and you're bleeding. You got to put a Band-Aid on that thing. You can't just pretend like it's not, it's, you're going to bleed all over the place. You know what I mean? So yeah, everyone every once in a while cuts themselves. Everyone every once in a while gets hurt, but deal with it. And, you know, move on and grow and, you know, cool things are going to happen when you connect with people. But if you're not where you want to be, don't feel bad. You're cool. You're awesome. It's just, this is where you're at the story. So keep moving forward so you can get to the next chapter. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes.
But I just feel like sometimes people hear me and this is all I talk about is friendship, right? And they're like, well, it's easy for you. You're an extrovert and this is what you're talking about. But listen, I mean, even as a friending person, like there are times where I'm like, I don't have anybody, you know? And that's where I am in the story, you know? And it changes, especially as women and as moms. I feel like we go through a lot of life changes and, you know, you're going to find yourself in places where you're like, oh, wow, where'd all the people go, you know? Mm-hmm. And don't be hard on yourself. And remember, you've got something to offer. You matter. And the world needs you, but they need the real you. So embrace that and then connection comes.
Awesome. Thank you. That's awesome. Grace is so, so important. I think too, remembering that sometimes it's about, a lot of it is like from my experience, looking back at least, I'm like thinking maybe a lot of it was just my perception. That there were people who really did appreciate me and value me, but I couldn't see it because I was so low on myself or, you know, things like that. And that it's, again, it's like you said about seasonal things, friends are seasonal, life changes are seasonal, life experiences are seasonal. And it's important just to remember that. I think you're right. It's totally true. And to give yourself that grace that it's okay. Yeah. It's okay to go it slow, take it slow. And then it's okay if you just try to make your best effort at one point, you know, and you're not going to discover what it's like to make friends until you start, but you got to start at your own level.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, I have to say this because it's so important. Social media is not friendship. So liking a post or getting likes on posts or following people or becoming friends on Facebook, it doesn't mean anything. So don't get stuck in that place.
Yeah.
You do got to get out of your house and see people.
Yeah.
You do have to pick up the phone and talk to people. And I think people are lonely, but they're like, I don't know why I'm so lonely. I'm connected.
All these friends.
Yeah. Because you are connected, right? All the time to your phone. And you could at any point look into how someone's doing. but you're actually not really engaged with that person. So yeah. If you find yourself chronically lonely, ask yourself how much of your life is being lived online as opposed to offline, and maybe take it offline a little bit more and you might feel more connected.
Yeah, I completely 100% agree with that. I found that my level of stress and depression and anxiety rose the more time I spent on social media. It was like I was becoming dependent on these like responses on social media or something. And when nobody's responding, I'm like, nobody sees me, and I'm freaking out. But just in these last couple of weeks, I did like a social media fast where I actually didn't look at social media for 10 days. And these last few days after ending that, I feel like I have a new life.
Wow.
I don't feel like this urge to constantly pick up my phone and look at it. Let it go. Just let it go.
That's awesome. I'm going to try that.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was very skeptical. I was like, there's no way that I'm going to be able to give this up, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just social media. It's not like, it shouldn't, I hope, but I don't know. I was very skeptical, but then at the end, and I still had this urge to like look at my phone. I'm like, I need to see something on my phone. No, I can't look at social media. So what am I doing?
Right.
And that urge after 10 days was gone. I was like, I don't need to look at this all the time anymore.
Yeah.
And so it does. It frees you to do things more productive. It frees you to be able to make those connections in real life. I love that. That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Noelle. And I'd like to ask my guests in conclusion, like, what are some of your favorite books, like about this topic, about your friend, about friendship that you recommend? Because I love reading books. And so I love learning about different books that are really good for this.
Yeah. There's a lot of books on friendship. But the one that I often recommend to people is written by Shasta Nelson. Shasta is like the friendship guru of our modern day. And I love her, and I can't speak more highly of her, but she wrote a book called Friendships Just Don't Happen. And it's very practical. And if you're stuck and you feel like you're lacking in life-giving friendships, I would highly recommend getting Shasta Nelson's book, Friendships Don't Just Happen. It's a handbook to friendship for sure.
Awesome. I haven't heard of that one. I've heard of Shasta, but I didn't know that she wrote in a book. So that's
cool.
I'll have to check that one out. Awesome. Thank you so much, Noelle. Tell us one more time where we can find you online, your podcast and social media.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So you can find me on Instagram at Noelle P. Rhodes. We also have a Instagram handle for Friending Podcast, which is Friending Pod. You can find the podcast anywhere. It's called Friending on iTunes, Stitcher, all the places. And we have a website, friendingpodcast.com. So just check it out. Just Google it. You'll find us. So
yay, I will. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. I love getting your feedback. You can like, rate, and share on your favorite broadcasting medium or social media platform. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest at Family Culture Podcast, and on Twitter at _FamilyCulture. Come check out my show notes and resources at homeandfamilyculture.com. Thanks again for listening. Mother Teresa once said, "If you want to change the world, go home and love your family."